For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Please pray with me. O Lord, you have given us your word for a light to shine upon our path. Grant us so to meditate on that word and to follow its teaching that we may find in it the light that shines more and more until the perfect day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Going back in time a little bit to the 70s and 80s, some of you remember the 70s and 80s. Some of you might not have been born yet. But in the 70s and 80s, there was a guy. If you remember this guy, he had multicolored hair. And his name was Rollin Frederick Stewart. They called him Rockin' Rollin' or Rainbow Man. And if you remember, he was a fixture at NFL games and Major League Baseball and at golf tournaments and racing. He would be in strategic spots, and he had this afro that was rainbow colored. I don't know. Does anybody remember him? You remember that guy? Yeah. It was so fun to see him. And he'd hold up a sign all the time, and that sign would say, John 3:16. He did this because he had experienced a conversion in his life where he turned from his former life to becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. And he wanted to some way and some form witness and share what had happened in his life. And that's the method that he chose, John 3:16, and he would hold it up in the hope that someone would see that and maybe look it up or maybe remember and come face to face with the love of God in Jesus Christ. John 3:16 is one of the most famous, popular verses. Children this morning just say it from memory. We can say it from memory. Along with Psalm 23, probably the most beloved of all Scripture passages. And I had hoped to spend the season of Advent going through this passage. And still going to do that. We're going to, last week's message, this week's message, next week, we're going to go into Christmas with the four messages based on this verse. We're going to see that God is the greatest lover, for God so loved the world. We're going to see that the greatest gift, that he gave his one and only Son. We're going to see the greatest opportunity, that whoever believes in him. And we're going to see the greatest promise, shall not perish, but have eternal life. Tremendous, tremendous truths in this passage. And we're going to flesh this verse out in the weeks ahead. God so loved the world. What I'm going to try to do today is to show you from Scripture that God is the greatest lover ever. That there is no person in the history of this world that even comes close to loving the way that God loves. And to do that, I'm going to run through a little Scripture history today for us. We're going to start way back before anything created, when God, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit existed in a loving relationship. They always have existed. It's hard for us to even fathom that or begin to understand what it means to have no beginning, that they've always been there for us in our lives. There's always a beginning and an end. There's a cause and effect. But here, God has always existed. Always. There was never a beginning with God. And Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit were together in this perfect relationship. They had no needs because God is self-sufficient. He's self-existent. And He's eternal. And they had this loving relationship together. And at a point in time, as we understand time, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit decided out of love to create. And they created the world. And the last piece of that creation was human beings. And so, out of love, created all that He is, including humankind. And on the sixth day, declaring that this was very good. And God said, let us make them in our image. What it means when we say, let us make them in our image, it means that we're able to have this relationship with God. And so, here is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit creating human beings, us, to have a relationship with Him, a relationship of love. That was to be evidenced on our part by trust. We were to trust God. God said, you're to trust me, to Adam and Eve. God says that to you and me every day. Trust me. Trust me. And He said, you have the whole garden here in that creation. You have this whole garden that you can eat of any tree in this garden that you want, any of them, but one. One tree you're not to eat of. You've got to trust me. I am the Creator. I love you. You're to trust me. Don't eat from that one tree. Well, the story of our lives, the story of human beings' lives, comes in Genesis 3, because we know what happens. Those who are familiar with the Scriptures, if you're not, this is what happens. God says, I love you. Here it is. Don't eat from that tree. Be in that relationship with me. Trust me. And what do human beings do? We walk away from that love. What did Adam and Eve do? They ate from the tree. Satan came and tempted them and said, oh, don't worry about that. You see, the problem is if you eat of the tree, you're going to be like God. You're going to be knowing good and evil. That's why He doesn't want you to eat from the tree, because you'll be like Him. Don't believe He loves you. Every man and woman for himself or herself. Do what you want. And so begins that process that I've shown many times with chairs of walking away from God. Walking away from God. That process began right there. Because they were created to be in this relationship. Created to be in that loving relationship. And all they had to do was trust. All they had to do was trust and believe. But they began to walk away from God. And they turned away. They ate from the tree. And God had said, if you do that, you're going to die. You do it, you're going to die. But you see, God is a relentless lover. But they don't die. What does God do? God takes some animals. He kills those animals and takes the skin from those animals and covers their guilt and shame. It's an incredible story because they were supposed to die. But when they began to walk away from God, they began to hide from God, and God went looking for them. And when He found them, He talked to them about what happened. But instead of killing them, He kills an animal and covers them with her skins. And you think, wow, they would never, ever walk away from God again. And their descendants would never walk away from God again. But the whole story of Scripture is people continuing to walk away from God. The descendants did it. So much so that in the book of Judges, the refrain is every person did what was right in their own eyes. It's the reality of humankind. Instead of living in trusting love with God, we stubbornly walk away from God. But God wasn't going to let him go. God was relentless in his love. He came and chose a nation, a people, a special people that belonged to him. And because as he blessed them with his love, they were to be a blessing to everybody else. As they experienced God's love in their life, they were to love everybody and be a blessing to the world. And God delivered those people from poverty and enslavement in Egypt. But as soon as the people were liberated from the prison and the enslavement, they rebelled. They walked away from God. They walked away from him. And they built idols. And they began to worship the idols. And you know, it's really interesting. When the Ten Commandments are given, the Ten Commandments are given after they're released from Egypt. The Ten Commandments are a way of freedom. God is saying, you're free now. This is how you are to live so you can continue to be free. This is what love is like. But the people continued to walk away, continued to turn their back on God. And God, in his love, intent on this relationship, sent messengers called prophets. Prophet after prophet after prophet was sent to plead with the people to return, to come back. To come back to my love. Trust me. Stop walking away from God. And what did they do to the prophets? They killed them. They didn't listen to the prophets and they killed them. And they continued to walk farther and farther away from God. And God, as a relentless lover, when we celebrate at Christmas, in an ultimate act of love, God himself became a human being. It's as if God was saying, they just don't get it. I want to find some way for them to understand how much I love them. And it's as if God had determined the only way that that's going to happen is if I go down there myself and show them. And he sent his son Jesus to earth out of love. And Jesus came, became a human being. He showed us what love looks like in our day-to-day lives. Jesus, the Son of God who loved, who came as a baby, who grew up. But as he grew up and as he began his ministry, this Jesus, the Son of God, the very person of God himself here on earth, to show how much God loves us, what happened to him? He was rejected. He was slandered. He was mocked. He was tortured and murdered. But notice the relentless love of God. God says and accepts the murder of his son as the punishment and the judgment for our very sins. For the very persons who walked away from God by murdering his son, God said, I'm going to use that act in love. I'm going to use that as a way that people can be forgiven. And he offers total amnesty, complete forgiveness and peace, the cleansing of all guilt, the defeat of death, the promise of eternal life. only one thing you must do, going way back to the very beginning. There's only one thing that you must do, and that's trust me. Trust me. Trust Jesus. Trust that I love you. Trust that Jesus paid the price for all of your disobedience and your walking away. Trust me. And if you trust me, if you trust that you love me, I will forgive you. I will forgive you. And you have a new life. You're forgiven. And you can walk in the way of love. It's an incredible, incredible story of God's love that if we trust Him, this can be changed and renewed, and we enter back into that loving relationship of being face to face with God who loves us, who made us, who redeems us. You see, God's love is really the eternal giving of Himself for the good of another from creation to today. The eternal giving of Himself for the good of another. And He has to continue to do it because we continue to walk away. We continue to turn our back on God and not walk in the way of love, not trusting Him, not believing Him, thinking that life is found out there somewhere. Maybe we think that, well, okay, God, you're good for Sunday, but for the rest of the week, there's an experience, there's a hobby, there's a vacation, there's something out there that's better than you, God, and I'm going to walk after it. And God, being the relentless lover that He is, pursues us. He pursues us. He pursues us through experiences. He pursues us in people, in circumstances, in difficulties, and in joy. He pursues us to show Him to show us how much He loves us. And as we are convinced of God's love for us, and sometimes this has to happen daily because daily we mess up and daily we fall, daily we walk away from God, daily we do what we want to do instead of what God wants. But when we turn and trust Him, there's forgiveness. There's forgiveness. You see, God wants to show us His great love, and He does that by His Son. In fact, you can change that verse. We have to make that verse personal. God so loved me. God so loved me. God so loved you that He gave His one and only Son, that if I believe in Him, if you believe in Him, I will not perish, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. We have to make that so personal. We have to realize that God's love is so great and powerful and yet so focused that if you and I were the only ones here on earth, Jesus would have come. He would have still come. That's an amazing love. That's a powerful love. And so literally what I'm inviting you to do today, and this, and maybe you've never thought about faith in this way before, maybe this might sound so different that it can't be true, but what I'm asking you to do, what I'm asking you to think about doing, is to literally fall in love with the greatest lover ever. To fall in love with the greatest lover. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Two quick examples. Pedro Arrupe left medical school and a promising career in medicine to join the Jesuits, which is a Roman Catholic segment of devotion and prayer, and they separate themselves for those things, and then also in service. In 1927, he did this. But in 1945, his medical training was put to use because he led the first rescue team into Hiroshima, Japan, after the atomic bomb was dropped on that city. And as he led that team and he began to reflect on his time there, he offers some insight on the power of the love of Jesus to transform all we do. This is what he wrote. Nothing is more practical than finding God, than falling in love with God in a quite absolute final way. What you are in love with, what seizes your imagination, will affect everything. It will decide what will get you out of bed in the morning, what you will do with your evenings, how you spend your weekends, what you read, whom you know, what breaks your heart, and what amazes you with joy and gratitude. Fall in love, he says, with God. Stay in love with God. And it will decide everything. It will decide everything. An example from Scripture. And I close with this. Mark 14, verses 3 through 6. While Jesus was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. And Jesus said, leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. You see, this woman was not preoccupied what others thought of her. Christ's love and forgiveness had, in Arupe's words, already decided everything in her life. Her heart was just so full of thanksgiving and gratitude and joy to Jesus for the love that he had shown her, for the mercy he had given her. And she understood that her significance came from a relationship to Jesus, not from the approval of others. And this gave her confidence to be herself, regardless of what others might think of her, because she had fallen in love with the one who loved her first. And she stayed in love with this greatest of lover. And it decided everything. That's the invitation today. This greatest of lover, God, gave his son. And the ultimate act of giving, gave his son out of love for you and me. And when we experience that, and we know that, and we'd literally fall in love with God and stay in love with God, it decides everything. It decides everything.